Always good to see him amongst us in our meetings of this nature, the select committee, with his staff. And also today our select committee is blessed to be graced by one of the important partners of the South African government, who has come all the way just to witness the proceedings of our committees. He's all the way from Germany, but is in the consulate here in South Africa by the name of Your Excellency Marco Schmidt. Marco Schmidt is amongst us today, and he works in the Consulate General for the Federal Republic of Germany. He's here in Cape Town. Feel free to witness and to watch, but unfortunately, you will not vote either way. You will vote by heart. Thank you very much, sir. We've got also, it's not only him, besides the members of the select committee, Munir Lont, you are not from Germany, but you are welcomed. We are also having a representative from the office of the Council of Japan here in Cape Town Embassy. His Councillor and Consul Mitsuru Urase or Mukase. Thank you very much. You are also welcome, sir. It's a pleasure having you two today in this very important select committee meeting. I hope your stay in South Africa will find it very enjoyable. Thank you. because also they are one of the strategic partners of South Africa, Japan. In our school days, we learn a lot about Japan and Germany. There's a lot of history. Fortunately, I did visit Germany some time ago, but not yet Japan. Thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got two items for today, but I would want to request for your indulgence, members, to make number two number one, and number one becomes number two. I want us to adopt the minutes of our previous meetings, because there are already four piles of minutes, so that we clear our desk. And after having adopted that, we will go to item one, the core business of today. But before we go into the agenda, I would want to know any apologies from members? Any apologies from the select? Seems to me no. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, members. We received two apologies from Mr. Volda and Mr. Mgwena.
Are they written? All right. So if there are written apologies from the same party, they are not present today, Mr. Mgwena and Dr. Volda. Maybe we look deeper into the apologies. What is the nature of the apology? Well, surely there should be a little bit of explanation why they are absent today, because we must set the tone and the example for that. Thank you very much, Sisi. is that uyarecognize muntu?
Ngiyathokoza sihlalo. Can I also register that Honorable Zondi from KZN is still indisposed? If it can just be a standing apology.
It is, so with due respect, I'm sorry that you have not mentioned him today, but it is a standing apology. As we received it initially, he has been hospitalized, and we are following up on the matter. To an extent that we said we should send a Getwell wishing card to him some time ago, and I hope that the officials did do that. We took that formally in a meeting of this nature. Thank you, Mundu Mohle. Shall we move on to the minutes? We've got four sets, the 8th, the 9th July, 15th July, and 22nd. Shall we start on the 8th of July? Has everybody has the minutes? If so, it's a package. Mr. Rasmus, some members don't have the minutes. Honorable member, the chairperson. You see, also members, Mr. Rasi. Okay. Four sets of minutes, it's the 8th of July, 2014, the 9th of July, the 2014, 15th of July, 2014, and the 22nd July. Are we all in agreement? I'm advised that these minutes were sent to members last week, except the 22nd July minutes were not circulated. But also there is a request, when you send these minutes or any document electronically through the iPads, don't send it through that, what do you call that tablet, the Mimic? Is it Mimic? But send it so that, because they don't open to some members' iPads, those documents. Good one, don't get this in the number, Zikur. When you, PMD, what, PDF, send it through the PDF. Because that thing of Mimi does not open. Or if it does open, it comes very small. You must take binoculars. We'll order them from Japan or Germany. We don't have those binoculars as of now. Please send them correctly so that... are we all comfortable? Do we all have these minutes? Shall we start with the 8th of July, 2010, page 1, page 2, page 3, and page 4. Any mover?
Which minutes are you on at the moment? The
8th. 8th. You don't have?
No, we have. We've got a bank of minutes here.
Any mover, ladies and gentlemen? Can you express your name for the sake of those that don't know you? And also, you are welcome, because we understand last week you had an apology. We raised it consistently.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Buingotho Ntebe. I move for the acceptance of the minutes.
Yeah. Any seconder? Yes?
Person?
Thank you very much.
It has been seconded. Shall we move to the 9th of July? In page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. And page 6. Any mover? most of these minutes relates to our budget votes that we've dealt them in the previous meeting. Honourable Member?
I move for adoption, Chair.
Any seconder? Domuhle is seconding. Thank you very much. Sorry that I'm a bit fast because I want us to go to the core business. I didn't even ask for corrections. You'll do both if you do find any corrections or input. You shall go to the 15th of July, 2014. Briefing by the Department of Public Works on this budget vote. On page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, the last page, page 5. The small issue is just the numbering is not consistent. Some documents they're numbered, others are not. Let us be consistent. Any mover, ladies and gentlemen?
Can I just raise a question for clarification on the minutes? On page 2, the minute that is before us now, the 9th of July.
Yes.
On page 2, Chair, we have Mr. Vilana as the Acting Deputy Director General, but also Mr. Didiza. Does this department have two Deputy Director Generals? Two Acting Deputy Director Generals?
On the 9th of July.
It's possible. Okay. Then it's fine, Chair.
But as Chairperson, as a member...
Can we just go back to what has been said? On space, it's Acting Deputy Director General. The Director General.
No. Didiza.
It can't be, because we'll remember that Mr. Vilan.
No,
it's
right.
Yeah, Mr. Vilan is the acting DJ.
Yes.
Not deputy. Hello. No. Sorry. Yeah, recognize,
ma'am. As a matter of clarity, you've now confused me totally. Just explain again, because you for the distant branches.
Just 1 second. Can we switch off that mic behind you because the campus is off?
Every branch has a DDG. So you can have two or three actings. And I think we remarked in one of the committee meetings about the acting team that we've got. That's the one thing. But what is important, and which is not clear, and this is a very good example, is what division. Like Vilana is an acting deputy general. But of what? And the next one is a DG that we accept. And then there's Mokonyama. And then there's Vuchumani. And so it carries on. There's another one, Didiza. We must say of what? So that we know who we're dealing with.
Okay. I think that can be improved in the next set of credentials when they introduce themselves, and also in writing when they fill in that form, because the other one will be corporate services and the other one may be for another unit. So I understand what you're saying. The point is well accepted. The second matter, the first one that was asked by Honourable Member Makua, I'm sure there is a mistake here. Am I right?
Yes.
Tibakwana. That is Sipo. Sipo can be, he's not a DG. He's just a director. He's not a DDG neither. He's a director in the office of the acting director general. So he's a director. That's a mistake. Sipo Tibakwane, the tall guy who was seated here in transport. Can we correct that?
Which one is that?
Tibakwane. S. Tibakwane, the one who's called named his position as a director general. He's just a director in the office of the DG. That's it. Yes, Dada?
Thanks, Chair. You're quite right. But also, Mr. Vilana is the acting director general. He's not acting deputy director. He's acting director general.
All right, Nalab. Ntwanengos. As usual. Are we all on equal par? All right. Thank you very much for that, ladies and gentlemen. I like your vigilance, because you should not give people positions that they don't deserve. A person must stick to his or her position. Let's go over to page, because we are brought back to this page whilst we were on the minutes of the 15th. So the matter has been corrected on the Department of Transport. We did adopt that. We were busy with the set of minutes of the 15th of July, 2014. 15th July, 2014, page 1. Page 2. Look also for your spelling. You know, sometimes they might spell your surname wrongly. Page 3. Page 4. And Platsay Faith. Any mover for the adoption? Any mover? Still reading? Seems to be members now are taking a closer look. But no mover. You move for the adoption and seconded by Mr. the whip of the committee, Mutumu. Timunye. It's 1-3. Timunye. 1-3. Single 3. Each of us are going to translate. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The last set of meeting of minutes, that is on the 22nd of July, 2014. It relates to the briefing by the Department of Energy on its budget votes and so on. And by the Department of Labor, also both are here. Page 1, page 2, page 3, I nearly said that I don't see the DA. Now, it really, the Democratic Alliance is a standalone, and then the names are on the other side, on page 2. Page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. And page 8. If there are no comments on it, shall we move for the adoption of the minutes of the 22nd July? Any mover? Yes, member?
Yes, I move, Chair.
Any seconder? Are you not present? You are organized, ma'am?
I was here, person. I'm thinking.
Thank you. That's what I want to hear. I like that voice. She has got a banana voice, eh? All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And I think next time, please let's send them on in advance so that just members can, the meeting can flow. Yeah.
If we are going to go into the House and say a committee supports a budget vote, and there's even some members that came in their speeches and said we voted by a show of hands on whether we supported votes or not, then that must be reflected in the minutes. because we specifically looked out for that now in all of these minutes, and in not one of the minutes it's reflected. And since I do not remember it, it doesn't reflect in the minutes, it didn't happen in these committees. So if a decision gets made and it gets reported in the House, then it should be minuted as well, to cover yourself and to cover ourselves when we go back to the minutes to check what's going on.
Thank you very much for that. Surely we'll have to improve as we go forward, and we'll eliminate some of the unintended consequences of what we've raised. Thank you very much. We'll reflect that, the true spirit of the minutes. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Chairperson, I think it's imperative that we also assess whether we can vote in this select committee on the budgets. I thought that we vote in the formal sitting of the NCOP and not here.
Chair, I understand that, but then when we go into the House and some of the members out of this committee stand up in the House and they say, we have voted on this and we haven't done it in these committees, okay, I don't want to go into a meet a plenary again and we need to raise it in the House. I think we've worked along, got along well in this committee, and I think we respect one another on everybody's contributions. But then when we go into the House, we must also have a true reflection on what gets discussed in these meetings. Now, we don't have to go into it much further, but I mean, that's something that we wanted to raise at the first sitting of the Select Committee again, because we felt some items were raised that was definitely not, one of our members here said we actually voted by a show of hands, and that was completely false. We've never done that in this committee, and it was actually reported as such in the House.
Who's the other one?
Can I just say, ladies and gentlemen, we did rule on the matter. So down the bridge, we've taken note of what we have raised. Both speakers, surely we are able to deal with that matter at a particular time. You will be voting also in the House, I think, the appropriation which is coming, whether you support or not. But I'm saying, there is congruence in what you have raised. There's a lot of sense. We'll look onto the matter. Thank you very much. Shall we move on this matter? Single
clock.
Can
we minute now, like
I did not give you a chance to talk. But I know. Can we move on, ladies and gentlemen, please? Thank you very much. DM, you once again, you are welcomed. And with your team, you saw us that we did not introduce ourselves this time because I thought we'll get to know one another as we move along. And we will give you to lead your delegation, and maybe thereafter you'll direct us as to who will be making the presentation. I know last time you gave us a good presentation. Thank you very much. Over to you, DM. DM means Deputy Minister, in case, because we do have visitors, they will not understand DM, what does it mean. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Chair. Firstly, an apology also. The Minister would have wanted us to be here just based on the fact that the issues that we're presenting here are core. I must indicate that in terms of our division of work with him is that there must be no situation where both in the two houses, whether it's a portfolio committee or select committee, where the ministry should be not be there. So he himself must prioritize activities in the NA, and I must make sure that here, whether he's there or not there, I must be there. So that's what we have agreed upon. The DG also is not going to be with us today because they've been requested to handle certain matters by the president, which are urgent. I'm with the team that works with the subjects that we are dealing with today, the key people who provide us with the information in relation to things that we are doing all the time.
they are the ones that I'm having here, Kameti, and I have Nika. Both of them are working here with statistics, and he's the one who reports to us, and also he sits in the Secretariat of the Infrastructure, and he reports to the cabinet cluster all the time. He presents a progress report on the areas that we have identified. We are going to present on the NGP and the performance around the NGP, and we'll also reflect at the end on the how are we going to take forward the processes. The other matter that we deal with, we noted that the committee wanted us to speak to infrastructure a little bit on detail in relation to how we see the MTF going. We are going to reflect on that in the presentation, and because it's part of the NGP. We want to indicate to members that we have had, as we're interacting with committees, select committee and portfolio committees, members were grappling with the issue around where is the NDP, where is the NGP, where is the industrial plan. The NGP is the socio-economic is the vision of our country on our socio-economic development. So it covers every aspect of our life up to 2030. So when we have the NGP, is those strategic focuses. It deals with the strategic focuses. We can say, if you want, our economic projection of where we should go and what is it that we must emphasize to meet the objective of the chapter on the NGP. So the IPAP is the Industrial Action Plan, which is intended to focus just on the industrialization of the country, all the plans and things that are supposed to be done, including focusing in the industrialization, and also what are the things, the blockages that we are having. Members have been raising issues around whether we don't crowd out private sector, whether there are things that we should deal with. So they are mostly, IPAP is mostly driven by DTI, because they are the ones, it's the implementation plan. So we deal with the NGP, speak with a focus on all the economic factors that we're supposed to deal with. So today we're reporting here on the NGP, which is an economic vision that seek to meet the objectives of the NDP. So in the NDP was adopted in 2010. And it seeks to address legacies of inequality to access in resources, to skills, to investment, and economic growth. And we also seek to achieve, it seeks to achieve a common vision from public and private sector and NGOs and the labor, that we must at least speak to the same issues. So in that process of development of the NGP, there are certain areas that all these players have agreed that we should actually focus on if we really want to tweak our economy for it to be resilient, because it was developed at a time when the economic crisis was very high, was having a high impact. So we want to respond to that. At the same time, we want to live to the 5% growth that you want in the NDP. So it identified certain areas that we should prioritize immediately. And these areas that have been identified to be dealt with immediately, one of them is, it calls them job drivers. It's not necessarily that these areas just deal with jobs. It also deal with growth. But it said, if our growth has got to have an impact in our society and it brings stability that we want, it must have a job factor. So this area that I'm going to talk to has been singled out because they've got a growth factor and a job creation capacity around them. So the first one that we needed to deal with was that all areas that we want to handle, you can talk about them, but if you don't have infrastructure, we'll not be able to deal with them. So prioritize infrastructure. Start with it directly, both economic and socio-economic. So in the discussion, you agree that we'll deal with economic and also socio-economic, because sometimes you focus on economic only to find that your social issues also affect your economy because you haven't addressed a road and a street, and you haven't addressed a clinic because I mean, people are unhealthy in the So that is the one that we're going to do. So that's why you look at that. What is the focus? Energy, transport, communication, water, and housing. Those are the factors that those are the areas that we indicated that we should be focusing on. And this, I must say, honourable members, that this has been the major focus in the last in the fourth term. And it has made us to understand how we should intervene in an economy, the challenges that we would actually be dealing with. The second one is on the actual economic sectors of the economy. What are these economies that we must look at? We must look at agriculture and its agro-processing. We don't just look at the production only. You must look at the mining, and not just mining at the primary end. You must look at the secondary end, at the tertiary in terms of your beneficiation. We must look at the manufacturing, which is going to be more of a focus on your what we call IPAP 2, which is your industrial planning action number 2, that just focuses on that particular on the areas of it. Because the first one deals with agriculture and agro-processing, and the other one and the mining and beneficiation. So we also say that there's also tourism. There are also other sectors that we should not leave out when you deal with them. So these areas are very important for us to grow. If we zoom on them and we're very clearly focused, we'll be able to get our work done. The other area that was that I identified, it was economies, new economies, areas that were not exploited before. We have got the area of green economy in our energy, and it's an area that we felt that it wasn't exploited. We should look at it. We should look at that in details. There's a new one also in the new economy that is coming now that is looked at, which is to do with the ocean. It was there, it was existing, but it was never a factor that we focus on it as a specific factor. Then we have social capital with social economy and the public sector. Social economy that relates to collective working, your cooperative that is assisting, and initiatives that are in a society, your township economy, and also factors that areas that deals also with a cooperative that respond to necessarily not in your economic sector, but also to your social delivery that will be able to assist you to move forward. The public sector, I think, is the one that we know about. Just ordinarily, the normal services that the normal employment that we have, and also the focus on labor intensive activities, your public works programs, and your internships. Those are the issues that are affected. We have also to look at the special opportunities. Your rural areas that members have been crying over the 10 years that we had and were saying that in our rural areas there are opportunities that we're not looking at. There's land, there are all these things that are happening there. And it has been accepted as a focus that we should actually be looking at. And also the Africa and African region regional development as a focus. In all our trade, we've been looking at the Europe and the US, and we never look at on these areas. What are the in these areas? What is it that we have seen happening since the launch of the the NGP? What you would have seen that members Chairperson said last time, start from the norm, so that we can move all of us. In this first quarter, members would have realized that there has been losses in employment. And we will speak to that. While there have been losses in this employment in this quarter, we must indicate that since the launch of the NGP, there's been an upward trend in terms of employment. But in this specific quarter, there's been a drop. It's not that we didn't have some drops in between and drastic increases. We've been having drastic increases and drops. But this trend now, this immediate trend has shown that there's an immediate drop in our unemployment, and we'll talk to that as we go on. But we must indicate that in terms of we'll be indicating in the presentation that while there are these drops, we mustn't think that as South Africans we're not doing anything. There are serious investments that are actually carried out by both the public and the private sector. And we'll indicate to you how is that intervention done when you talk to the various areas. We want to say the major area that actually is worrying us, and that is the key that we're chasing so much, is about the trade balances, which is creating a problem, and it is coming from the particular factors that are coming in there. Which has got to do with the reduction in mineral prices and the volatile capital flow associated with the depreciation and the continued reliance on imports of consumer goods. That want to change that trend and make it more where we have more exports that are actually coming up. The workplace conflict of late has indicated that it is becoming actually a serious problem, and it relates to this quarter. We'll talk to it when you talk to the areas of this quarter. However, if we look at that was our at the national level, the issues that were affecting us. When you look at the international level, there is the worrying factor that there is an uneven recovery. So we've got friends that we have got to trade with, and these friends are sick too. And it actually creates a lot of problems, even in terms of how we're going to actually move forward. The U.S. and the Eurozone has revised its growth downwards. France and Italy have done also a downward revision. In Germany, we've got weak industrial output now by May. There's an indication of that. It worries us because this relationship with these are countries that we have got very strong relations with them. And if we see a particular sickness in them, we know that our trades are going to be affected as well. Chinese was expected to grow 7.5%. Although we know all of us that that figure has actually been stepped down. The continued stagnation in commodity prices will affect South Africa and Africa's South Africa as a largest export country. And the fragility in EU economy, that's what we want to indicate. In the next slide, we want to indicate to you that all the issues that we have indicated are played up here, and what is it that is actually a problem. If we look at us in that blue graph, it indicates how has our economy been growing as a in percentages, And what we see there, what we see, I'm talking about this line, this is us here. You see, we go down, down, down. And then what we are reflecting with this graph is that while our growth is necessarily, when you compare to the other middle income countries, are actually low, its trend, it hasn't shown anything far from how we're affected the same way. And if you look at the others, if you look at, for example, if you look at China, it's very big, it's doing very well, but you can see that its movement is going almost the same way like we're doing. So it's not like when anything happened in the world, we have actually found ourselves going down. We are grappling. We are actually this is actually showing that we are resilient, but we're not. We're resilient, but the thing that we're having is that what we're wishing to have, which is an upward trend like that, is not happening. It's actually going down like that. But we're still resilient. We still respond the same way the other countries are actually responding to the situation of our growth. Our interest is that this must move like that. And the NGP is seeking to have that like that. But if you look at where do we have the major challenges, is that here is a crisis here. It affects all countries. And we drop down, all of us. And we start recovering in 2010. And moving up, and again now we start slumping down because of the issues that we have been raising in terms of the commodity and other factors that we're having there. So those are the issues that we are raising. All these countries that we have left here, we just realized that we have left Russia as one of the BRICS countries. We just realized later that we dropped. It was in part of it. We would have seen also what the kind of trend is like. But all these countries here that we're talking about, which are BRICS, they are related. They relate to. They are dependent on the U.S. as well. They are also dependent on your Europe. So anything that happens in Europe and it. Actually shows you that you can't be immune in them. You can't have that. That's what we're trying to indicate. The next slide that we want to talk to is that how has these things that we're talking about affecting us? What we have seen here is that if you look at, this is 2010. Look at these areas when the economic crisis is coming. It is bringing us down, all of us. But after the adoption of the NGP and this confidence that is growing, we have seen growth in development. It means that our factories actually, our industries were developing, and we had a growth in employment. Although at some point we go down and up, but the trend is showing that we are going up. 2014 here, there is the first one. It has shown us that we have actually dropped. You see, there it is that is showing us. But what we're indicating with that is that this is showing that confidence that has been brought in when we come up with a positive intervention into our economy to say this is the direction we should take. It doesn't necessarily say that we have actually reached all the levels that we need, but just necessarily by focusing what we have now in terms of skills we have now, in terms of the situation we have now, at least we could turn the corner. There are other things that we still have to do very much into this area to turn the corner in such a way that it brings us to even a higher level of performance. What is this that is bringing us here? This is the work of South Africans, and that's how I want to put it. The work of South Africans, after they have agreed on the 2010, you would realize that industries, which is your blue that is indicating this is an investment of industries here from 2010, is stagnant. It's still the same. But what are you having? You have the red one starting to increase. So this is your investment that we're talking about when you talk about the investment of the public, the infrastructure investment that is done there, which is actually boosting the whole investment package and make us to grow, to be resilient the way we do. We are hoping, that's what the minister was saying in his input, to say, that's why we're hoping now as we start moving here and we start stabilizing with that investment, we'll be able to see the private sector starting to move also up now in its investment. And part of the thing that the private sector have indicated, did indicate which are these areas that are actually creating a problem for them to move forward. Then there are other things in the work that have been done by government that is looking at how we work together to achieve those investment and the employment that we see and the growth that we have seen. It's there has been accords and agreement on these support areas which are going to support this growth and employment. Our skills, which have been identified as a problem, we have there is an accord on the national skills development by both private sector and government, and it's being implemented now. There is an issue around the basic education. All of us have been talking about that and the areas that are problematic. There's an agreement between government and the private sector on how, this is an accord that we're talking about, or which was reached in terms of how we should actually deal with that. So the issue around education is no more an issue that stick only with a department. It's now a collective effort that is put by everyone here in relation to try to. We have an issue around which has been agreed upon on the local procurement. That has been agreed upon that 75% must go to local procurement in any investment that we're doing because it is going to replicate more in on. Those are the agreements that have been agreed around with the all stakeholders that are involved in the economy. We also agreed on how we intervene in our green economy. We also have other accords that relate to the youth, where it was agreed, where the issue of the set aside of the youth has been agreed upon, and which the government is now leading on it. We are looking at the private sector, also looking at doing that based on that agreement. So these are the issues that out of that accord, since the accord in 2011, this is the reflections that we are having. We see that there has been an increase in youth employment, although very small. And we have got also seen the increase in women involvement, although it's at a very small level. And most of them are actually coming from the services set. What is then is the performance of the NGP on the areas of work? This is what we have seen: 1.4 million people employed since the implementation of the NGP. Inequalities begin to come down, but in a very sluggish manner. They are not we're not doing very well, and the recovery from the downturn, we are showing that we're beginning to go there. The new challenges that we're having is the worsening global environment that we've been talking about, and the rising of electricity and other user costs. We are worried about that. It seems that we're interacting with and we're discussing. And we have got the workplace and community conflicts, not only workplace, community conflicts, which are actually disturbing the program that we're having. Okay. Area number one on infrastructure, what has happened. We have indicated in the initial program how the public investment, how we have seen public investment growing in the infrastructure. This public investment that, as you see it here, that we have actually increased on as a percentage of the GDP, you can see that within this area we have seen a reported in annual increase of employment in this area, especially in the construction in industry, and we have seen most of the jobs were gained in Gauteng, in KZN and Limpopo, and we have seen employment increased in all the provinces except one. Except we have observed all of them in eight of them, except in the Eastern Cape, where we have seen a shed of jobs in this one. So is the one that when we look at this information, is the one that will make us to then go to Eastern Cape and then check what are these things that are actually causing that problem to go. I mean, for that province, it help us to guide them. If you look at this table, it speaks to the same issues. The employment. If we now look at 2010 to 2014, what has happened? I've said Eastern Cape has gone down when you look at this quarter. But now let's look at generally from 2010 to 2014. If you look at employment in general, you will see that all the provinces are increasing except for Free State. In the aggregate, in all the employment drivers, you have the Eastern Cape, Free State not doing well. Major contributors in this were in percentage terms were Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and then Gauteng, Western Cape, Limpopo, and KZN. So the largest gains in this areas. These are the, we're just reflecting on the key achievement that we have seen in this area of infrastructure. What are the things that we have seen? We have spoken about these, the increase in the investments and so on. The agricultural area as a sector, what is it that is going to be, what is it that we are seeing? When we said that the emphasis will be was on infrastructure in the last term, the other sector, it doesn't mean that the other sectors were not focused on. There was work that is being done there. And what is it that we have seen? Is that we have seen in agriculture that employment has grown there in agriculture. Employment in agriculture have decreased in agriculture actually in general, because we have increased by a number that is equals to that by around 55,000 workers, which is which means that we have shrank by 7.5% on year to year. But in terms of the there are provinces that have shown growth in these areas. If we look there, the Western Cape, Gauteng, and Northwest are showing that we have been having an upward trend. We are worried that provinces that we thought that would actually come out strongly are the ones that are actually having, that are dropping. Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, Free State. We are worried about them. At least KZN didn't change. Those other ones, we are worried because they're actually supposed to be driven so much by agricultural industries, especially if you speak about the Free State. What did we do? in order to respond to this situation. There's a Fesetlala program that was launched last year, which include intervention in Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Free State, and Northern Cape, Northwest, and KZN. We have also seen a commodity-based cooperative being initiated. We have also seen an intervention on soybeans in the Mpumalanga and Gauteng area. We have seen the draft agricultural policy action plan that is in place now, and we hope that that one is going to be able to help us to uncover the lost grounds in the other areas that we have been, that has been indicated in the earlier slide. Aquaculture, forestry development, organic food sector are some of the areas that have been identified, and this work that is done together with the Foundation for African Business Consumer Services, which is focusing on milling industries. In the mining, members will realize that May 2012, we have seen a downward trend of unemployment that is going down, a loss of shedding of jobs in that. We are attributing it to the platinum sector that has been unstable, and we have seen also this particular area that has been unstable in terms of industrial plans. What is it that has been done to actually deal with this? What is it that is being done to deal with this? We have got an agreement, it's a solicited agreement in mining industry to move back to strengthening of the bargaining structures so that we don't have too much of challenges in terms of our situation. The amendment, the MPRDA that we know that is in the parliamentary process and it will be returned to adjust certain areas, we think that it will assist because the one that talks about the issue of security of mineral supply for more local industrialization on those areas where we think that we have got an arm and we can be able to do some work on them, we should be able to try to protect that and protect supply in relation to that. For instance, part of them that will be more simpler, say coal and energy. You need to look at the security of supply to Eskom to deal with that. And also on those areas that we've started some beneficiation activities in that, we need to deal with that. We'll remember that we also have the beneficiations that have been started on the reactor. We have also finalized the feasibility reports on special zones in various areas, Rustenburg with regard to platinum, Dubatri with regard to platinum beneficiation, the special economic zones that are going to have to come up with special incentives for investors that want to be engaged in that in those activities. The Dube Trade Port is actually flying now. It's going, and we shall very soon. I think it's what is this cell phone company that is going there now? Samsung, I think, is going to go there. It's coming with certain components that are going to work on in that area. The solar corridor in the Upington, The Saldanha Bay, we all know that, as you said, that started here in the Western Cape. All those are actually intending to diversify our industrial economy in the country. On the manufacturing side, if you look at the manufacturing, this year we have seen a growth in aggregate in the manufacturing sector. If you look at Gauteng and if you look at Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Western Cape, Gauteng, they are the major contributors to this growth. The other provinces are actually going down. And I'll speak to this when we go to the future, when we go beyond here. Why did you hear us, Chair, speaking to the emphasis on working with provinces directly to pick up all these other things, manufacturing potentials that are there in order to change this trend here? So that is what the NGP is directing us to do. You will see that this growth that has come now is because of the BRT, your MyCT, and all of them that are actually manufactured here, and the trucks that are manufactured here, these things that we have made, that this development should be here. The automotive investment the investment in the automotive in the automotive by the investment scheme. Our draft national automotive value chain proposal is completed, and the 11 enterprises which we approved for funding, and those projects are actually making an impact in relation to what we should be doing. The other areas of work there are other areas of work in the which has which are contributing into these and other issues, even in terms of your pharmaceuticals and stuff, and actually indicated in the renewable, in the green economy. In the green economy, because it's new, there's been things that were supposed to be done there. And also to say that when we have that, we must remember that there are other countries that were more advanced in this. So the possibility is that you think that it's a new economy, and only to find that in terms of industrialization, you see nothing in terms of your manufacturing, because things will just be brought in here. So there has been a development in relation to what are these things that we should be doing, what are these things that should be set up, that should be protected, and that has been completed. Instructive notes for power and telecom cables and solar water heaters were published by the National Treasurer to indicate these instructions were saying this component, when you buy a solar geyser, it must have the following percentage of components at least manufactured locally. If it's not, then it's not a correct one. We have launched a solar PVC localization roadmap, and also on the biofuels that the criteria for qualification is there. So in terms of the future, we hope that will be growing more in that particular, in those areas. Future plans. In terms of the future plans, we will be looking at the implementation of the infrastructure program further now, but we'll also be looking at growing the other productive sectors, as you have indicated. And we look at the other sectors, your public sector, your manufacturing and your agriculture, all the other growth drivers.
Thank
let me pass on. And on this one, what we are saying is that in the MTSF will be facilitating the structures for coordination of all these areas beyond infrastructure. We'll be getting into the other growth sectors that are supposed to be that was supposed to be carrying out. This is speaking to that. So the infrastructure that we're talking about is this one. Maybe it's, this slide is very important coming from the, taking it from the previous discussion that we have. These ships, where are they? They actually indicate where are these various ships. We only not didn't say that the SKA and the Mir Gat is actually in the Northern Cape. We didn't say the rest of the others are there. But the water and sanitation one will then be spread all over. And the higher education infrastructure, UNESCO schools and the others, they are obvious that will actually be spread all over. And we hope that in some time to come, we'll be coming up with the actual area that we want. So, in terms of the infrastructure, again, talking to the next 5 years, the MTSF, the committee has requested that we come up with an MTF. Chair, we want to indicate that today we won't be able to give you an MTF projection. Why? It's because the executive has worked on plans to at least have 1.5 billion, 1.5 trillion to increase now the infrastructure planning from where we are now at 1.1 to 1.5. And those were projects that were spread in the various departments. As you would see here, these seats are actually affecting various departments. So there are projects that are there and there and there and there. So the president, the cabinet felt that now that we have proposed that, allow the process of presenting the project and interaction with the various partners and hear what they're saying about this. For instance, in the interaction with the various partners, our partner said, no, can we emphasize now on the ocean economy? And that's why the first test of Operation Patisa was dedicated to that in order to fast-track it immediately to get it into to be factored in. Members in the various committees, both in the portfolio committee and in the select committees in the various presentations, departments are indicating that there have been a lot of valuable inputs that have been made in relation to how they must adjust and prioritize what in relation to the infrastructure. So immediately that is done. It will be taken to the, we ourselves as a secretariat will consolidate all that information, take it to the PICC, which is chaired by the president, and we have our premiers all there in there, and mayors of strategic, to then confirm that this is what we're going to do, and they're going to be in that province, and that province, and that province. So the next presentation that we think that we'll be presenting to you is the one that will be speaking to these factors to indicate, yes, this is our MTSF, this is our MTF, this is what we want to spend in the MTF, and these are the areas that are going to be spent on, and these are the provinces that are going to be on. We will start a request for that indulgence. So going forward then, beyond the infrastructure, we'll then be looking, what we're saying is that beyond the infrastructure, the things that we're talking about, we then be looking at the economy, the other sectors now, as the EDD start monitoring and following up issues and create information that we can share with the executive, and also the select the NCOP and the National Assembly on this particular areas, and we'll also be going now to provinces. do the work that we have indicated. When we're looking at the presenting in the various sectors, we have indicated how provinces were doing. Now we are going to go there and work with them in order to trigger and prioritize these their growth areas so that they are become clear and they contribute into the work that we do. That we're in the, when we're in the provinces, it will include assisting the local municipalities in their LEDs to identify these growth processes. So that's basically what we wanted to present to you. So any when we discuss these members here, we'll give you the juice of the detail what they, of what is there. I thought I should give a broad overview of what you do. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister Masuku. When you started, I thought he's make introduction, and I caught him on the way, and I had to chase very fast. I could see that, you know, as I said, he started in a diesel car, starting very slow, but when it's warm, it doesn't want to stop. Thank you very much, dear, for that information. I'm not sure whether the two gentlemen would want to augment or add on the information given or clarify just here certain areas, or are you covered until you are questioned to be responded to with the lady, the very beautiful lady.
Yeah, I forgot to say, this is Norma Khosi. Norma Khosi is the person that will be interacting so much with, because he's the one that must make this relationship to work in a very more beneficial manner. She's dealing with, she is parliamentary liaising in the office. She has been given strict instructions that we don't miss out on what member. There must be no gap between us and the member.
thank you very much, Sister Makosi. As Pindi Sukulibale, you must build the relations, bridge the gap. There should be no vacuum because of your absence. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I think there you are. The Deputy Minister has spoken, giving us about the plans and so on. Reading from this document, but I think this document is prefaced from a certain document, the 20-year review. Where is that document that I just said here? This document. Most of the issues that they are raising are here. At your own quality time, go through this document. You'll find some of the issues that the Deputy Minister has raised. Is valuable information in terms of this document. But nevertheless, maybe members would want to get some clarity questions. I will allow that opportunity now. You will be number one, followed by your colleague, my colleague, number three, Makuwe, number four, Tebe. In that order, speak economics. You are recognized. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thanks, Deputy Minister, for the presentation. It enlightened me a lot and gave me some hope while we are in type of economical recession, which we are looking at. I would just like to know on page...
Just, sorry for my interruption. Can we just introduce ourselves to the new Minister, Deputy Minister? He might not know. I know we did introduce ourselves last time, but just for more information. Thank you.
Yes, sorry, Chair, we did not introduce in the start. My name is Willem Faber, and I represent the Northern Cape province in this select committee. I would just like to know, on page 9, on youth employment 15 to 34 years, it says that it increased by 322,000 from the quarter before the inception of the NGP. I would just like to know, this 322,000 youth jobs that's been increased, are these excluding jobs created by government, meaning state employees, are this private sector or are these combined? And if they are combined, what is the percentage of government employment as well as private sector employment? And then on page 33, as I am from the Northern Cape, on the Saldanha Northern Cape Development Corridor, I've heard about this corridor. Our Premier spoke about it. Some of these people that's involved in it came to see me about 2 years ago, and I'm happy to see that they are now talking about a corridor for the Northern Cape, as it is on the western side of South Africa, which is closest to the Americas and Europe. I believe it can let us actually explore a brand new industrial revolution almost in South Africa from the western side of South Africa. How far where are we at this stage of the fight with this corridor? Thank you so much.
Listen, thank you. Thank you, Deputy Minister Masuku. I appreciate the presentation. I would like to stress, though, I thought you knew me by now. I'm Elsa van Lingen from the Eastern Cape. I've got two major issues, and the one is that in the previous presentation I asked for a summary of all the SIPs. Now, it will help us to do oversight so much better. I also asked in my budget vote debate for the SIPs. The DG, Mrs. Steiner, she promised to give it to us. She said there were about 560 SIPs. It's not forthcoming. And I tell you why it's so important. We talk about the rail corridor from the Northern Cape right down to the Eastern Cape. And it's been spoken about for a very long time, but we now need to know where are we with that one. So if we can see the ones that you are talking about, then we will be able to follow up on them. It's no use talking about 18 SIPs and 18 SIPs, and we're not getting to the nuts and the bolts of these projects. You do say that you communicate with at the MinMex and with the municipalities, but it's at the municipal level where we also have an influence. All of us, as members of parliament, we represent constituencies, and that's where we must see that the projects are implemented. So I must tell you, nowhere here is there a provincial reference made in this thing. The figures that you are using about unemployment and so on, it is clear that there are certain provinces where the employment rate has dropped drastically. Drastically. And I think from the research that I did for my budget vote, it's clear that the Free State is probably the worst affected province. I presume it's the mines that closed down and are still closing down. And if we get the whole picture and we see where the figures are going down so badly, even in the Eastern Cape, and then of course we need to know where all those agricultural jobs are lost, and we see that per province, then we can see what is being done if you are forthcoming with the SIP projects, where we are going to do what and what projects we have to do or supplement to make sure that things are going to create, that these SIP projects will create employment. I do think that you must come one day and present us a whole thing on inequality, and you must include everything in that inequality ratio of yours, because I believe it's quite a debatable point. I have discuss the job losses and the badly affected provinces with you. You are mentioning some very important agricultural projects. For instance, the fact that you want to plow something like 230,000 hectares and is being plowed in 3 or 4 or 5 provinces. You know, that's fine, but we need to go into the detail of those things. We also need small scale milling industry, how that works. Oh, and I must tell you on point 8, on page 18, slide 18, the second bullet from the top. You sound as though you have got farmers that you want to sell in Woolworths because you've organically trained them. The word organically is just in the wrong place, and I couldn't... it's Pick and Pay. And 130 farmers were trained in organic farming. You cannot organically train anybody unless you want to train your beans organically. It's just the word in the wrong place. Your aquaculture is a very interesting concept, and we need to know where those are so that we can follow up on them. And as I say, a lot of them are agricultural sector jobs. Then on slide 23, you say that according to Stats SA, this was mainly due to decreases in the employment in the manufacturing of furniture, chemical products, manufacture of dairy products. This is now, which I presume decreases in jobs. But why in dairy products? Because I thought we were going for agro-processing, and how did that happen that we are losing out on saving jobs in the agro-processing field? And I think that's more or less where we are. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Very serious questions. Honourable Member Makua. I don't know whether you introduce yourself, because I've already mentioned your name.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. Honorable Deputy Minister, I range from a goal in the outside. On the slide 8, to start off. Now, let me first make the comment and say that part of the challenge that we have, particularly in this select group, is that there are so many other departments dealing with the economic issues. And we particularly welcome the indication that this department, that your ministry, is responsible for the coordination of all this. That is very helpful. We will have many more questions. My first question, Deputy Minister, is on slide number 8, where you show the employment figures at the border. It would be interesting to hear whether the informal business sector and also the organized sector of civil society are included in those figures. Having spent so much of my time in civil society, one gets the sense that there are various employment opportunities that are created in advice offices. Having worked with the Department of Social Development, one got to learn that they are 62% dependent on rolling out social programs. My second question for Deputy Minister would also relate to the point that was made by Honourable Van Lingen on slide number 30, where you talk about the inequality. Also because the party that I employed, or that deployed me here, has identified poverty, inequality, and unemployment. And it's going to be important, looking at where we come from as a nation, that we look at unpacking a little bit more what inequality means for us. I particularly welcome, Honourable Minister, on page 15, the reference that you're making to local procurement. We, however, recognize that one of the challenges that we're experiencing in implementing local procurement is scarce. Does the department have any influence or relationship with any of the CETA? Because I've seen them mentioned somewhere. Deputy Minister, on page 17, there's a very interesting observation there, because on page 16 you are referring to the provinces and their value chain in rural development, and you are saying that Free State, Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, and the Limpopo were provinces that shed the most jobs. But then on page 17, right on top, you are saying the Fetlala program that was launched in October 2013 includes land reparations for 250,000 hectares in Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Free State, Northern Cape. Those are the same provinces that you mentioned there on top. But then you add North Cape, Northwest, and KwaZulu-Natal. If we therefore look at our role in terms of oversight, would there be a way in which we could be drawn into observing whether there is progress or whether there is in fact deterioration on those initiatives? We welcome just the organic food sector and what you're doing there. You are right, Minister, when you refer to the Duba trade project and refer to Samsung there, because DTI has briefed us already on that. Then, Minister, on page 1324, you are referring to a truck and bus assembly in Rossmann. Just for clarification, is that the same assembly that DTI is referring to? Because DTI is saying Pretoria West. My geographic understanding is Rossmann is more to the east of Pretoria. Just to make sure that it's the same plans that we're talking about. Because I didn't know that it's Iveco as one of the people that I participate. Just a clarification on that one. Then my last one, Deputy Minister, on page 25, where you refer to the Monietla Work Readiness Program. And it links to an earlier comment that I made, where we are particularly confronted with the painful reality as a nation where many of our young people who seek employment are told you don't have experience. And we would want to look at whether, I mean, the allocation that's made there, 171 million and 1,369 jobs, good, but, you know, we are a difficult people sometimes to please, where we would like to see a dramatic increase, if we're talking about radical transformation, in terms of a project like that, because our young people, particularly, in the province of Gauteng, but I don't think it excludes other people, are all confronted with a problem that they are told that they don't have jobs. And we may need to look at how do we engage with the Minister of Higher Education, also on the FETs, and the necessary accreditation of the skills that young people acquire. I know of scores of people in a community where I work who has undergone training through the Department of Labor with the CDAS, and they get equipment that would help them so that they could become self-employed. But many of these young people are saying, you see, they gave me this welding machine, but I can't keep the welding machine. And then they sell the welding machine so that they get by today. And we need to look at how do we better coordinate that training also with the placement of young people. My question there would be, would it be justifiable, would it be realistic for us to consider an approach like that? Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable member, and just also pondering around this 171 million and 1,369 jobs over a period of 3 years. It's quite a drop in the ocean. It's very small. If you talk South Africa, it's not even a province. You know, it's very little, next to nothing. Maybe we might get a little bit of information thereof. Honorable member, I want to introduce yourself.
Thank you, Chair. My name, DM, is Buingotlo Ntebe, and I'm part of the select committee residing in Northwest. I will limit my question to clarity-seeking questions, Chair, unlike Honorable Makoe, with a view, of course, that we will have a second bite. That you said for DM, it's not explicit on the economic opportunities to be unlocked in Northwest. Could you, if it's possible, expand on that? And the other issue that I wanted to ask was that, look, if you go to page 4, under external balances of forces, we correctly identified that one of the issues or the constraints on our part is that there's continued over-reliance on import and all that. I know that there's a discussion now ensuing in Taiwan, Chair, that for the past 15 years or so, we've been the net importer from Taiwan. And it's only now that we are beginning to speak about beneficiation. But if these are realities, I don't see anywhere where we are saying how do we then zoom into these realities and defeating them. Because in all the discussions that we have or presentations that we have, there's stronger emphasis on the local content, on beneficiation, on creation of jobs into opportunities that are there. But in terms of the actual planning, when we come to this presentation, you don't come to that. You don't see that. When are we going to start with beneficiation? When are we going to start with localization? There's other program that I don't see there. The Ekurhuleni, Honorable Makoe. There's a project in Ekurhuleni which is going to create 1,500 tangible and direct jobs, but also having potential to create 83,000 secondary jobs in Ekurhuleni, which is part of the bigger project that is coming there. I don't see it appearing, and it's one of the key opportunities identified in there. But there's also, in your Pretoria side, a company that produces what do you call it? Are they train carriages or what? And they are paid, is it there? And it's, they are producing that at 30% lower than what the Chinese are giving us. And I don't see us tapping into that possibility and saying these are our own people in our own country and they are doing something with 30% less from what we've been doing, and how do we then move forward? And the last one, just on what the Honorable Member was saying, why do you use the age 15 to 34? Is it according to the trend Is it not contrary to our policy discouraging labor, child labor? Why do you use the age 15? Can't you use the age that is employable? Thanks, dear.
Ntumunye, the whip.
Thanks, Chair.
By Ntumuhle.
I am raising this, what I'm going to raise, mindful of the fact that the DM underscored that they will be coming back with a medium-term kind of a plan to us. And I can only raise this matter with the hope that when they come back, it will be included. The Muloto Rail Corridor, according to Transport Department, is that that project is now registered as an integrated transport planning system kind of a project. Is it not of economic significance on their part? If not, what are the other reasons? And if they so do, I hope it will be SIP 1 so that Northern Cape can be pushed down and Mpumalanga takes number one. And Mpumalanga taking number one there. The Honourable Deputy Minister will have knowledge of the old Mpumalanga Maputo Corridor project of Mpumalanga that has now become a rickets decimal from where I'm sitting, and for reasons unknown to me. Perhaps if I know it may be of provincial competence, but what is it that as national government or government are doing in general with projects that we identify, we run with the project up to a certain stage, and the economic spin-offs that are attached to the project not being realized, but the project seem not pursued any longer. I'm seeing this in the context of the good finding or the good innovation that we're hearing about the economy of the sea. And my advice or my emphasis will be, let's not prioritize or emphasize new projects all the time and forget about the old ones, which are also equally important to the economic growth of the country. Thank you.
Yeah, good point. Are you covered? Timunye. Honorable Timunye has covered Ntomuhle with those comments. Marcos, Lont, anything to say? I'm getting worried when you're quiet.
Why is that, Che?
I don't know.
No, I was pretty much covered by many of the speakers. Just maybe add on to what the Honorable Farber asked. He only referred to the youth figures, but it should actually get a breakdown of all employment figures. I think that was on page 7. Yes, comparison between private and public job creation, not just the youth, but all, because there's a big bracket. We need to know how much of this was driven by private investments, because if you look at the slide on slide 8, I mean, private investments has pretty much stagnated. So that's a problem. And the NEP actually says that we must get the private investments to escalate, and at the moment that is not being achieved. So what is your plan to get that going? Okay, and then the rest I was covered. I don't have to repeat any of the others, but that's just an add-on to that first, please.
I can see your eyes are talking. More bite.
Last point, Chair, which is coming out now. I observed from the news this morning that according to the Consumer Price Index, the borrowing power or the credibility of borrowers in South Africa has gone down conservatively for 9 quarters, we're told. And the banks, and this is more so by the big lenders in the country, the banks, I don't know, maybe I'm too much socialist orientated. Aren't the financial sector supposed to assist us during times of difficulty as borrowers? And I'm not suggesting reckless lending and borrowing here, but is not supposed to be the case in case we are in financial constraints. The financial is not supposed to help us in one way or the other, and more than actually during the booming years. economically?
Well, you're taking us to a debate on social cohesion. That's a socialist approach. Well, you can debate that from a point of a nationalist. All right, thank you very much. My little question, first and foremost, please. All right. I just wanted to check from DM. It might be a simple question, but it's very fundamental to me. That is treasurer, national treasurer, talking to you as a department, especially when you deal with infrastructure development? Are you talking to one another? I will not elaborate on that because also I'm looking at your document and the presentation and what is obtaining on the ground, the ones having the purse, you know, and the ones coordinating and so on. So I will not elaborate on that. Surely you understand what I'm asking. The second one, you see, somebody raised the matter of projects that are being launched almost every year and you forget about those. And I would have thought that the matter of, if I latch on what has been raised from the Eastern Cape point of view, the Umthombo project, how far are we? Because you seem not to talk about that one. The Umthombo project. Can we get some clarity on that one? Because everybody, in particular in the Eastern Cape, is asking, is this thing still there or not? There is an element of uncertainty when you raise the expectation and few months down the line, you're a bit quiet to subside with that. now, also in the same vein, look, these projects that we are raising are for 2013, 2014, most of them. And 2014 going forward, 2015, I would have thought that we might get a progress report as to where are we now on those projects. I'm looking at this document on your infrastructure. So that we are systematic in reporting. If you listen very carefully here to these members, select committee members, each one is raising his or her own her concern about his or her province. We are going to a constituency week next week, am I right? Recess or constituency week. Surely we'll have to interact with our constituencies. Now, if you talk economics in KZN, Mdomuhle ba uya ku constituency yakhe, nithi maka report endoni. Now, I'm asking that, can't we have a dossier to say we are here with this and these are the expectations? I know that you are talking of global, about South Africa as a whole, and there are categories of AU, the international communities and so on. But at our level also, as we have to do oversight and assist you when doing those oversights, come back with a report to yourself to say, look, you reported about this matter, this is not happening, this is happening. We should have an entry point, a baseline where we enter our oversight as members of parliament in our own various constituencies. But we can't just go globally to say, look, I'm just thinking once again of Mtomunye in the rural communities. What must he report about KZN? Let alone utetha nge social cohesion and so on. So I'm saying try to assist us so that also we assist you in terms of the information. A very clear one. We move from known to unknown. Sindaoni ngoku. Thank you. Any responses? Yeah. You see, when I learned, you are just like the DM. You start very slow. You ask a very good question. Now you are heating up. I will pour you some water. Come.
Chair, if I don't add value, then you can rule me out of order. But as long as I add value, then give me a chance. Chair, is this not, and I'm not referring to this department, but sometimes when we put requests in for more details, I think we must really minute it as such and say, listen, we want information on this by a certain date. And then if we do not get it by that certain date, we want reasons why and then set a new date. Because I'm afraid that we're raising a lot of these things that we need information and then we just let it slide if we don't get the information. So, and I'm glad the Honourable Makua is here as well, but I think that would add value to our very important select committees that we maybe go that route.
Thank you. In fact, what you have raising, I did speak to these officials to say, look, we must have a system of monitoring the commitments made by government when they present, make presentations, and so that we can make a follow-up and hold them accountable to those issues that they've raised. You must find a way, a systematic way, so that we track on those matters that they are raising. Thank you very much for that point that you've raised. Any responses from the officials now? I'm sure the department, UDM has spoken quite a lot, and he has made problems for yourselves. Now you must respond. Thank you. And those introducers have left, all of you, because we did not quite get to your names.
Thank you, Chairperson, DM. My name is Kamete Tsotetsi. Yes. I'm so tired because there are so many issues that were raised, but I'll try and respond to some of them, and also maybe some sort of seek clarity on some, because others I was a bit lost on other questions. And also, I'm saying this on the basis of the brief that you got from the letter that you got. You know, and because you're saying only we're talking to about 20-slide presentation. So some of the requests that are now coming now, it's more like we need to prepare close to about 100, because some of these things. So it sometimes it becomes difficult when we have only given only, to present a 20-page-slide presentation, and then you don't know what to put out, what to put in, what to put out. So it becomes difficult, and you come here, get all these questions, and some of the information is there. And here. So I think if you can be assisted, maybe in that regard. Yeah, maybe some of the, on the slides, I think some of the programs that we were reporting on, as a department, our role is coordination. We bring all the key economic sector departments into one room, looking at the commitments that have been made, you know, sort of, and then we monitor those things, and then we try to unlock where the blockages on some of those things. And we do get, and I think there's questions that we raise, I think, less even down. First, Atlala, for example, which provinces, that information can be given if maybe the request is kept clear so that we can give information only on first, because it might be about 20 slides on its own. So there is information that we can be able to provide maybe at a later stage. And I'm just trying to skip through some of the... Let me just start from the beginning. The question that was raised around the youth employment, that's an aggregated value around 322 jobs. We had not gone into, whether it's private or public. Certainly it's something that we'll consider in the future to try and do and assist the honourable members. There's also a question that is around the Northern Cape Corridor as to what the progress in that regard. What has happened is the DTI, of course, working very close with them. They have identified, I think there's going to be about 9 or 10, in fact, assisted programs. I think some of them have already been launched. The DM spoke to the Dubai Trade Port and then Saldanha Bay. Others are really at feasibility stage. Because the important thing is that around those things, in others you find that there's not been any work that has been done in that regard. So what has happened is that there's pressure that even from national government and now we're putting on provinces. I'm not sure if most were aware that I think early this year, there have been a number of adverts appointing SEZ managers in all provinces, because the request for Mother Dita said, if you don't start this process, the provinces won't do it. So there's been that request that we are now moving ahead. They are going to be appointing specific project managers and project coordinators, start dealing specifically with some of those work so that we can see some traction, because there's about 9 billion that has been set aside to try to do this work. So you don't want to end the money going back, because we already outlined some of the challenges that we're actually facing in the country. Honourable Member, as I think Fafalanga and raised the issue on summary of all the SIPs. Some of the SIPs are here in terms, because I think maybe it becomes clear what, like, one take, we take SIP 1, you want detail on each, on SIP, and then, and I think maybe this is, sometimes it's that kind of clarity that sometimes is sought to say, if you say summary, and this is what we are trying to do, summary, so these are the SIPs. So maybe if we can get understand each other in terms of what we need to progress on each SIP, because the DG was very correct. It's about 18 strategic infrastructure projects. All of them we integrate about 150 individual projects, and out of that 150 is allowed, you know, each and every SIP days, you know, there's about 300 and something. So it's quite a lot. What has happened the last term is that we've got now an Infrastructure Development Act. Now that gives the minister powers to now start appointing SIP coordinators from the minister's level, from the municipalities, from the MMCs, all that kind of work that will be done from the minister for reporting to PICC. So there's going to be much more detailed information in the what needs to happen. If there's any blockages, obviously, and the required decision, even at presidential level, that kind of information, that's why the Infrastructure Development Act was actually put to actually make sure that we do get, there is some progress on the seas, but there's been some blockages in others. But the Infrastructure Development Act does give us that a minister in the main that responsibility now to make sure that you unlock some of those blockages in that regard. So there will be much more detailed information on some of those things. There is already work. You said that one doesn't have the information now at the moment. I agree with what I said earlier on the presentation in quality. We will, obviously, if we be given an opportunity to come and present. Yes, there's been improvement, but there's still, it's still very high by any international standards. And it's not something that we must take for granted, that as a country, we still faces those three triple challenges, poverty, unemployment, and inequality. That remains a very key. On the agriculture projects, let's say we only talk about four provinces. Again, that's a question of say, how then do you go about giving all the provinces? We can be in a position to provide that kind of information in those provinces in our details. Because what we have done in our agriculture, what we do, as one of the job drivers, we say these are the commitment in terms of the outcome for service delivery agreement. What have you done? How far you ever got? And then we monitor those. One of the things that is going to happen is going to assist us now to now zoom into more like what we've been doing in infrastructure is the agriculture policy action plan, similar to the industrial policy action plan. Now, it has been adopted, going to be presented in cabinet. And implementation is not like the Department of Agriculture and Forestry was waiting. The implementation will therefore start monitoring implementation of that on a quarterly basis to actually check how far you, because we'll have all the commitments that we made within that agriculture policy action plan. That will obviously try and address some of the key challenges that we're facing in this sector. Yeah, and that's why some of the difficulties has been that, yes, you find that there has been some interventions that have been done by a department that, you know, at national level as well as provinces, but you find that you still have some job losses in the process. You might find that the intervention, yes, is there, but it's not sufficient enough. Maybe there's issue of coordination in terms of what is that you're supposed to be doing at that whole value chain, be it municipal, be it province, as well as national government. So we are going to be given that kind of opportunity now to start zooming into those specific things, and how then do we assist in that regard. On the issue of, I think, local procurement, the skills accord. In the new, I think the Deputy Minister and then Minister presented, about a week ago, on the during our budget vote, there's going to be a much more concerted effort to implement all the accords that we, as a department, have actually signed. One of them is local procurement accord. In terms of the MTSF, there's already a commitment to say we need to make sure that we all everything that we produce in, or maybe we procure Eskom, 75% of it actually is procured locally. So there's going to be that work that we do as a department to start monitoring that and seeing what how that we influence departments to actually comply. Similar to the issue around skill support, the points that was made around the issue of work experience sometimes is used by the employers to help you assess an excuse not to hire our youth. There's going to be already work that we do with the Department of Higher Education and Training and this and that, actually, because there are some commitments that are also made by the industry itself around some of the supports. So we'll be following up on them to say, these are the commitments that we made. How far are you? And on around beneficiation and localization, there's an MPRDA amendment that we is currently being taken through Parliament. Of course, it also tends us to find out certain issues that need to some fixing. But it is not waiting for that. Although there's work that we detailed work that's going to be doing, and members are aware that this issue of beneficiation has been, people have been talking about it, I think, maybe since even before 1994. It is something that even at the department level, we have actually raised as a coordinating department and to make sure that this work has been done. Now we've got tight timelines. If you go through the MTSF, it is very clear what is that needs to be done. It's there's going to be work that is done by both Department of Mineral Resources and then DTI, as even with Economic Development, supporting them to make sure that there is some work that is done by this current financial year moving towards the whole MTS. So there's going to be a much more concerted effort in this regard around localization, because we are guided by MTSF, and it's not something that we're going to be actually be failing. And the project of the race on Ekurhuleni, Pretoria, one of the things that we've not been doing as a department, it's really to provide a proper oversight on the provinces that we're working because of the, but what has happened where there's been interested.
This gentleman has been talking for a long time now, but he's been dodging our questions. My point is that we need to know which the projects are so that we can do the oversight, and we're not getting that out of the department. And until we get that out of the department, the first 2 weeks that the DG said she needed to give us the information of the 560 projects, that has come and gone. It's over. Now we have asked again, and it is clear, this gentleman is quoting from, we must do this, and the Act allows that, and they can coordinate this, but they don't know what they're coordinating, because they cannot tell us what the SIPs are, and the various projects. And until we know that, Chairperson, we are not going to get anywhere. You can listen to the rest of the answers.
We will listen. Let's give him a chance. Maybe he's coming that, maybe in qualifying his responses, he might come up with what you wanted to say, because I think he's still on the floor. Thank you. You might proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, as indicated, we are going to be starting now to be working with provinces, really to providing the oversight that the department have been given that mandate by National Treasury, now to start looking specifically at non-financial performance of all the provinces, particularly lifting out some of those key strategic projects that we obviously want them to focus on, particularly in line with the MTSF as well as the NGP. In the main. So some of those projects, I think, I don't know who raised the point, I can't remember, we might not have a site of, and it's going to be important maybe if we can be assisted in that regard to actually try and see if we can get the information on some of this. And, yeah, I'll allow my colleague to add on some of the data.
Good day. My name is Nyika Gwanoya. I'm going to talk to some of the questions.
Sorry, about Nyika?
Yes.
The surname?
Gwanoya. Gwanoya.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm going to talk to some of the questions which were raised on the statistics and the charts. On the question on employment for the informal sector and civil society, the employment figures which were provided for quarter to quarter include everything. Essentially, we get this data from Statistics South Africa, so it includes formal non-agriculture, informal non-agriculture, and the agricultural sector as well. So it includes all the employment which you can think about. On the question of inequality, which my colleague talked to, what you see is that the information which we are using is obtained from, let's say, from the income and expenditure in October household survey. And if we note, I mean, like the Gini coefficient, I mean, it dropped from 0.67 at some point to 0.65. I mean, like it might be a slight drop, and we acknowledge that by international standards, I mean, like the inequality is still high. But we were just mentioning that there was a slight drop in the Gini coefficient, which is a measure of the inequality in the country. And then for the honorable member who asked the question on the age for youth employment, that is the range 15 to 34. The 15 to 34, essentially, when one is measuring the people of working age, we normally measure people from the ages of 15 to 64, 15 to 64 or 15 to 65 years. So from 15 to 34, we classify that as youth. It's a conventional measure, and we also accept that, I mean, like most people, even if you look at the data, most people between the ages of 15 and 19 will still be like in education or training. But as conventional measures, 15 to 34 is what we classify as youth. And for the question on the breakdown in employment, for the private and the public sector, that also can be provided for, as my colleague alluded to before, because there was so much information which needed to be covered and only 20 slides to provide it in, we could only cover so much. But we are willing to provide a further breakdown on that. And then an interesting question was posed by one of the honorable members on the CPI and the fact that the credibility of borrowers has been deteriorating over time, and whether the financial sector is supposed to assist. I also want to hope that, I mean, like the financial sector would assist, but as we know, the financial sector is in the business of making money. So probably they might be looking at that as well. So it's one of those challenges which we face, which we unfortunately look beyond us. I think I've talked to most of the questions, I mean, like which were raised on the data issues. Thank you.
Just before this last round, DM.
I just want to say to members that the disaggregation of statistics as requested when we give the future presentation, we know that members would like to know the disaggregation per gender and age. And we'll then deal with that. We'll provide that in that way. It is like he's saying is there, so we have noted that we'll deal with that in the future. We'll bring that in the future. I think there's something
in the floor on the floor, DM. Okay. Until we are done,
I'm just indicating that we have accepted that we have that information. So what we are saying is that in the future, now it helps us to say, this is how you buy. Like I was saying to the chair, we had
since your request, we started from, I think, 600, and we tried to push it down, 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 down. So what we are saying is that because members have indicated how we should disintegrate our statistics, we will take care of these areas. I wanted to say, however, in relation to now the information that you may want to know in this period, we'll work on that and just provide specifics on that, because we won't be able to start extracting now. So we'll extract and give it to the members. We are sorry that in the SIPs we didn't provide that. I thought that it has been responded to. But it's not a difficult thing. In terms of the SIPs, what you will be having is that we have the SIPs as defined and identified potentials. And then there are those that we are, there are various departments and various SIP coordinators are already implementing. So you'll have a list, something like that, that says these are the list of the original and this is what we are implementing on the, current, because there are those that we are still following up as a coordinating department, and they say, here you are stuck, you're not moving, and then you must move in order for us to get this job. These jobs are still outstanding. So it's those kind of things that we're saying. We'll come back to you. We're sorry about that. We'll work on that and give it to you. And that's why, Chair, we say I don't know if members would like it in between. I think it would be better if after the PICC, so that we'll then say, this is what was projected, we should focus on. This what is under implementation in that province and that province, that's what I was indicating. This is what we intend in the MT, these are the MTF projects. I don't know if it's structured in that way, it will have to be helpful to members. That's what we will do. That will be responding to specific areas that members have said. Your Saldanha corridor, your Mloto corridor, to say where they are. They are actually there. They've been identified as potential, but where are they now? We'll be able to say to you, we are working. There's one thing that I want to point out just there for members to also know, that when we identified areas and potentials, some of the things that we keep on lifting per term is those ones that we know that work has been done, planning has been done, everything, what is left is implementation. We have been advised by Parliament, both the NCOP and the NA, that we should not always bring in wish list with budget at the end, and then we say, no, we didn't implement because we're in the implementation stage. The President is very strict on that. When we come in and we present on a project and is still planning, he says, no, you can't take me to Parliament when Parliament has actually advised on those matters. I can only go to Parliament when we say, we are complete with everything that we're supposed to clear, we're implementing, and this is money, this money will provide it. So it answers also the question, where is treasury? In that collective, that's where the treasury is sitting and say, yes, we can, we are sure that we can fund this and it will be spent. This one, we don't think that will. Treasurer says, no, this one, President, we don't think that they will spend because there are many things that are still outstanding. You are going to mislead Parliament in relation. So that is a style that is there now. So that we are going to present on the basis of that. Why the dairy product, I said that part of this work that we do as a department, at a point when we give this evidence, we give it at a point where we say, these are the trends, this is what is happening. And I said earlier on, there are certain provinces that
We are worried, why are they performing lower when you want them to perform higher? So the department then will have to go back, as a cluster to say, here are these areas, what is the problem? So the teams go and interrogate that and say, it's because of that problem that we need to trigger. Same with the issues of, say, the sector. What is this thing that is happening in the dairy product? It's a question mark we have put. And say, what is happening? And then now we must go into it and say, what are these factors that are affecting the... In those areas where we've already done some work and we're clear, we normally indicate that we are aware that is this and this and that. Like in mining, we say these are the factors that we have seen. But in this one, in this specific one, say, we then take some further work to interpret it. I'm going to verify the issue around the location of the assembly unless you are clear. We'll just verify which ones are in Roslyn, which ones are in another area, so that we are clear. The issue of skills on the matter that relates to the skills on the local procurement. Ourselves in education, we participate in that SIP that deals with that. We also participate in the forum that deals with skills. So ourselves, we also analyze and identify and say economic skills that are missing here are the following. And we think that they need to be traced back, and this is what must be included in your FET, in your skills training programs, and also the matter that relate to your prior learning. Here are people that are already having skills, and they must be assessed in terms of that and look at whether they cannot be accredited to be at a higher level. The system is already there. It's a matter of just picking up them and put them in the system. So on the Fetsaklala, we'll go back to Fetsaklala and go back to the department and indicate to them, can you give us the department that is a leading department, so can you assist us with this program in the Fetsaklala, and what is it that you want to do on them. What is the other one that we didn't talk to? The issues beneficiation and localization. When we were presenting, we said there was more in this fourth term. There was too much. We're having more focus on the infrastructure. But now, as a department, we are getting into the other areas to say what is it that we need to do. Part of the things that we are seeing now as initiatives that we'll be going to, especially in the Northwest, is more on the focus on the issue of your platinum beneficiation. There's a specialized program coordinated now at the level of the presidency that speaks to that, and it is going to focus more on the Bujanala. There's also another focus that is going to look at tourism. There's another focus that is going to look at agriculture and agro-processing in the Northwest in relation to dealing with issues of beneficiation and industrialization. So it's something that will be clear of, will be coming to you and indicating more as we move in relation to now when we move forward. All right, the public and private sector disaggregation has spoken to that, and he has spoken to that. Mthombo will also be in the same line as Mloto and so on to try to do it. We'll provide that the progress.
Right. There was a hand before even you two raising.
your colleague did raise before you, and then that's why I said I'll come back to you. I will take Honourable Member Lawrence, followed by Honourable Member yourself, number two, and then you'll be the last one. Remember, members, also, there is time constraints because there is a debate this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Some members need to go and prepare, and I don't want this meeting to dissipate in a haphazard way. You will be the last one. If there are more engagement, please ask the DM as we go out. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Twice now there was referred to information that is currently available, but then that weren't given to us because of the briefing. Now, I don't know when the department is next scheduled to appear before us, but added on to my earlier request, maybe we should give then, and Chair, leave it in your hands to make the decision, but maybe a week before our next meeting, so that we have ample time to work through that document, and then it may be minuted like that, and then we can implement it. And then just something that came up, and this is a worrying thing. I think, and sorry if I pronounce it, Mr. Tsotsitsi. Okay. Sorry? Close enough. Okay. The minister may appoint SIPS managers or coordinators. Now, if that is in the regulations, and forgive me if I'm now a first-term member, but I mean, if that's in the regulations, all good and well, but then we also want to see if those coordinators that were appointed can actually do the job. So we want to find out, we want coordinators linked to the projects, and then find out what projects are actually being, what projects are a success and what are not, and then actually then find out what is being done to hold those coordinators accountable. And if it's a failed project, then those coordinators must either get the necessary support to improve in the future, or if it's not, if it's such a failure that it cannot be approved on, then those persons are not allowed or should not be allowed to be coordinators on any of these important projects in the future.
Two things. One, time frame for documentation coming forward to members, 7 days. A concrete proposal has been made, and I think we do agree on that one. The second one, the SIP coordinators to be appointed. That's what they said, and surely you'll put a rider on it. I think it's well in order. The next question.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. As I say, the previous term I've had, and I mean those of us who were here had the same issue, that it was not perhaps written down, that we know that, for instance, that the department will come back to us. It wasn't always noticed. And then at the next meeting, the departments used to come to us, and it's as if it lapsed. So I think that it must be noted in our... Oh, minute. Yeah, excuse me. I just defend myself in English, unfortunately. So not always is the right words. But okay, it must be minuted, I believe. And then also with a projected date, when we will get the information, so that we can, as our colleague said, read through it as a committee, and that we are also prepared. Thank you so much.
In fact, the staff here, we're discussing that to make a follow-up formally. In terms of reminding, so that in your recess constituency, we do have iPads. That information that can just be sent through, so that when we come back, nobody must complain about this matter of information. The whole of the egg father itself or the other. Makul?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you,
Chair. My half a minute comment is not going to relate to you or to us as honourable members, but to people who are visiting the Select Committee. I looked at some of the reports that they have written about our meetings and want to say two things. The first thing is, Chair, we make an appeal on them to make sure that they get the names of members and their profiles correctly. There's one report that refers to a member as the chairperson, and that member is an ordinary member.
I've taken over from you, chairperson.
It wasn't you. The other appeal that we want to make to the visitors, also Chair, is that if they record and it wasn't a decision of the House, they must be careful that they don't record it as a decision of the House, but as a contribution by a member of the House. We would appreciate if they can just draw that distinction. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair.
A contribution by the Select Committee member in a meeting of the Select Committee. Thank you very much. I think they are all ears. And I know there is a structure that always reports accurately on the proceedings of these meetings at times. But I think that's a good caution. Ladies and gentlemen, DM, I think you have taken the points. I could see your staff is nodding. So that, because this department is very critical when you speak economy, because it must take out our people out of poverty, and we must reduce the inequalities that are there and so on. So I'm saying you are very strategic, very important, DM. That's why people are speaking with passion. And when they look into their provinces, they want to deal with these triple challenges that we are always raising. It is not out of disrespect. So bear with us. And also I like your openness and your lead from the front as the DM in the information to see that the information is here from him. That's why, and also he has adopted an open door policy. Anytime if you want to have a cup of tea over an issue, the DM is there. I think they did declare that in their first meeting. Thank you very much, DM, and the committee members, your staff, and the staff members. Our visitors, I want to thank you for having observed the proceedings of this meeting today, and we hope this is the end of the beginning. You always come when you find time to come and see how we conduct our meetings, and maybe you can always advise outside this formal meeting to say these are the areas that you think we can improve. We are also open to suggestions from your side. To all of you at the back, thank you very much. PMG, I know you are always present. Thank you for your presence. With those few words, ladies and gentlemen, please go and debate smartly. The time now is half past 12. The meeting is adjourned. With those few words, thank you.
Rashad, I can give you a card.
Yeah.
Let me see if I have a card on. Here we go. No problem.